Blog Talk Radio.
Christmas, and welcome to Broken Earth.
You're laughing.
Well, thank you for choosing us.
You're putting me off now. I was practicing. I've been practicing. I kept turning into Bane from Batman.
Welcome to Broken Earth.
Anyway, what's happening? Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody. Or Merry Christmas Eve, or Merry Christmas if you live in today's show. We've got lots of interesting things to talk about, news articles, sightings of Santa Claus, maybe get onto the subject of ghost trains. Nuna's got lots of information to share with us, interesting conversations as usual. If you'd like to give us a call to spread the Christmas cheer, or any unusual Christmas paranormal stories, like maybe you've seen elves. And I'm not joking when I say that. People have seen elves or gnomes or seen a reindeer. Give us a call. Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. I can't get into the chat room again. For some reason, I can't log in, but I am there. I am guest. I'm guest. What am I? 820. Let us sit back and relax with this Christmas classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve to everybody out there. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. You know, my son has us tracking Santa Claus right now. We're watching the NORAD Santa, you know, the Santa tracker. And he should be in Tampere, Finland in about 6 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So Santa Claus right now is in Tampere, Finland, and in about 3 minutes he should be in Tartu, Estonia. He's already delivered 2,687,000,000
babies.
Well, actually, it is very difficult for me to keep 2,688,000,000 gifts so far, because every second it's just tick, 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 tick. I mean, it's already 2,689,000,000. I mean,
he's already been here.
Yeah, Santa stopped by here earlier. He had to do that. He had to do that earlier, didn't he?
Yeah.
So what did Santa bring us?
I got some monster feet to wear on my feet.
For that voice you were doing earlier?
What, Santa Bane? Going to do it then when I get in.
It's the bane.
I got a rock star rubber ducky.
Oh, a rock star rubber ducky.
Yeah.
And monster feet.
A monster feet. And I got
monster stompers.
Eminem, Marshall Mathers, LP, DOS, Thor Vavor. And I also got BioShock Infinite.
You made out like a bandit.
You damn right.
Yeah, Santa Claus was very, very good this year.
What did you get?
What did I get? I got some nails.
And a hammer.
I got some artificial nails with flowers on them because I don't grow my nails out, and they're really pretty.
You just have stumps.
Exactly. I also got some cupcake earplugs, the earbuds.
Headphones
with cupcakes on them, because I'm the cupcake. I'm the cuppiest cakiest. I got some unicorn earrings that are really pretty with danglies. They're danglies. I also got a ring that has not showed up yet, a pearl ring from the kids.
Really?
And yeah,
I'll tell them to get their act together. Maybe it's still being made. Maybe it's a clam out there chewing on it.
Exactly, and but the kids are so happy.
That's because of all the sugar. I was going to say drugs. Sugar they've been eating.
Right.
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Goo.
been snorting lines of aspartame, haven't they?
And right now, he's going to Estonia. I was just checking Santa tracker.
Oh. He is fast.
I know he's going to Estonia now.
Hey, I got something interesting to tell you here.
Okay.
I'm watching a program about reindeers. Sorry for that pause. I don't know why there was a pause. And apparently, I don't think they really go for carrots. People leave carrots out Christmas Eve. I don't think they go for them. They actually eat a moss called lichen. And I'm not talking about the werewolves.
Right.
Lichens, werewolves. But this lichen moss actually glows under UV light, and reindeers have UV vision. So when they're munching down on this lichen, oh, it's got all over my nose. So therefore, the nose would be glowing because of all the moss that's on there.
Oh, interesting. But glowing what color? Green? Or is that red moss? Or brown moss? Brown nose.
Well, it'd be UV color. Purple.
Purple noses?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people eat reindeers.
Right.
I want to try it because it's really lean and it's like dark meat. But it's really lean and it's low in fats, high in protein. And I thought it's supposed to be really nice.
That's what I've heard. Now, one of the things that I've noticed this a lot, and I don't know if it's just something that's just become more popular this year, but I remember watching this movie last year or the year before last. It was called, I can't remember what it was even called. I'm no good. But it was Rare Exports. And it was basically about Santa Claus being evil, okay? And so now people are starting to really, really get deeper into, like, Festivus and also Krampus. You know, people are doing the Krampus thing. So basically I want to just kind of talk about that if anybody doesn't know what it is.
Sounds painful.
Krampus.
I got them Krampus.
Well, Krampus is the devil of Christmas. Half goat, half demon, all naughty. It is a century, it's centuries old legend of Krampus. This is it. He is literally the Christmas devil, the opposite of Santa. He is horrifying, vicious, and very, very naughty. So now this is actually this is from Austria, I believe. But it's interesting because nowadays, we see Santa Claus as being the one who knows it all. You know, like he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, and all that stuff. But the thing is that Krampus is actually kind of the darker one. Now, this practice of the European practice of mummery during the winter solstice season can be traced back tens of thousands of years. Villagers across the continent dress up as animals, wild men and mythic figures to parade and perform humorous plays. Among the most common figures in these folk rituals were Old Man Winter and the Horned Goat Man. These archetypes are now found in the forms of Saint Nicholas and Santa Claus, and the devil, Old Nick, also known as Krampus. Wielding sharp, long horns with a shaggy pelt and fangs, the anti-Saint Nicholas comes lashing out with a bundle of birch sticks meant to swat naughty children. He then hauls the bad kids down to the underworld. The historic origins to this Christmas devil, Krampus, whose name is derived from the German word Krampen, meaning claw, is said to be the son of hell in Norse mythology. The legendary beast also shares characteristics with other scary demonic creatures in Greek mythology, including satyrs and fauns. The legend is part of the centuries-old Christmas tradition in Germany, where Christmas celebrations begin in early December. Krampus was created as an evil counterpart to kindly Saint Nick, who rewarded children with sweets. Krampus, in contrast, would swat wicked children and take them away to his lair. According to folklore, Krampus purportedly shows up in towns the night before December 6th, known as Krampusnacht or Krampus Night. December 6th also happens to be Nikolaustag or St. Nicholas Day, when German children look outside their door to see if the shoe or boot they'd left out the night before contains either presents, a reward for good behavior, or a rod, bad behavior. A more modern take on the tradition in Austria, Germany, Hungary, Slovenia, and Czech Republic involves drunken men dressed as devils who take over the streets for Krampuslauf, a Krampus run of sorts when people are chased through the streets by the devils. Krampus's frightening presence was suppressed for many years. The Catholic Church forbade the raucous celebrations, and fascists in World War II Europe found Krampus despicable because it was considered a creation of the Social Democrats. But Krampus is making a comeback, maybe because there's a cool new pope, a big one. In the United States, people are buying the trend with Krampus parties, particularly in L.A. with Krampus Fest 2013, debuting the city's first large Krampus festival. For its part, Austria is attempting to commercialize the harsh persona of Krampus by selling chocolate, figurines, collectible horns. And if Krampus tradition continues to grow, we'll have an even more to celebrate during the holiday season. So basically, this is turning into what I asked for, Halloween, yo. Just forget about everything else. Let's just finish this year out with another Halloween. Anyway.
You know that Santa, the word Santa, you move that N to the end. What does that spell? No, it didn't spell N.
No, go on.
Satan.
Go on. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that guy, Santa, anagram Satan, who
spends
in your bedroom watching you, whether you've seen you being naughty or nice, and emptying a sack in your bedroom.
Right.
You know, you got to be careful. He only comes once a year.
Creepy.
You right over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hold on just a second. Go on.
What do you get if you eat Christmas decorations?
I don't even want to even try, but...
Tinselitis.
See, I never would have gotten that one.
Okay, why is Santa so jolly? Because he knows where all the naughty girls live.
That's so gross. So creepy. So creepy. So creepy.
What's this joke here? Why? The Christmas tree can't stand up. What kind of a question is that? Why the Christmas tree can't stand up?
What?
That's what it says. It says, why the Christmas tree can't stand up.
What is it?
I thought I must have missed out a word there. It doesn't have legs. But what? That is the best joke I've ever heard. What's the difference between snowmen and snow ladies?
What?
Snowballs.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, should we get into some news here?
Yeah, and also we do have some people that are lining up to talk. And just so you guys will know, the first person we talk to when it's time for calls is 919. We're going to talk to the person at 919-er.
In the 919.
Everybody in the 919. And also, you know, we always ask, we have a metaphysical question that we toss out. And so we're going to have one of those questions. I want you to pick a number between the numbers 13 and 15.
What a selection. Hold on a minute, Mike. In internet browser's crashing.
Okay.
Between 13 and 50.
I'm just kidding. Between 1 and 50. I was just being silly.
42.
42. Would you...
Was that one before?
Who knows? Would you be willing to reduce your life expectancy by 10 years to become extremely attractive or famous?
I think we've done that one. Sorry, I chose number 42 because that's the answer to life, the universe, and everything. All right.
That's
11.
11? You're having lunch with three people you respect and admire. They all start criticizing a close friend of yours, not knowing she is your friend. The criticism is distasteful and unjustified. What do you do?
Sorry, I wasn't listening. Everything's frozen up.
You really weren't listening?
No, I wasn't, because I said all my tabs and information's about to crash.
Well, the question out there for the day, this is our esoteric, metaphysical, whatever you want to call it, question of the day, is you're having lunch with three people that you really respect and you admire, and they start criticizing a close friend of yours, but they don't know that this person is your friend. The criticism is very distasteful and unjustified. What do you do? So that's something that I want you guys to think about out there. And while Bill is doing what he's doing, we're going to take a little bit of a break. No, actually, the person at 919 is not, they don't have their thing clicked to ask a question. So
maybe we should just, like, butt in and say, what do you want?
We won't do that.
I want nothing.
Oh, they do have it. They do have it clicked. Okay, they do have it clicked. So anyhow, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and share a little bit of news. We're going to talk to the caller at 919. Remember, the esoteric question of the day is basically you're having lunch with people that you really, really respect. They start talking about someone who turns out to be a wonderful friend of yours. What do you do, especially when they're talking about things that are really distasteful and tacky? And I know that that's happened to us before, but it may not even necessarily be with people that you really respect. It could just be some people that you know. But anyway, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. We're going to come back with some stuff to share. And we're going to kind of – are you okay?
Okay,
we'll be right back, everybody. We'll be right back. Happy Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy holiday. Oh. What?
What? Oh, there's a lot of unhappy people at the moment.
Well, let me tell everybody something really quickly because let me say something real fast, Bill.
Thousands of you.
Just real quick, everybody. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Come on, say it already.
Well, Santa was last seen in Bulgaria, in Plovdiv, and now he's heading to Istanbul, Turkey. He should be there in about 2 minutes and 4, 3, 2, 1 second. So, and there's, he's already delivered almost 2.8, he has now 2.8 billion gifts. So he'll be in Istanbul in just a few minutes.
How many gifts is everybody getting individually?
I don't know. I guess it just depends. I mean, you know, sometimes it could even be that, you know, somebody could get one gift because it's a really awesome, amazing big thing. And some people get several little things. You know,
one person has got 2.8 billion presents.
Or maybe, and everybody else has not. Anyhow, what were you going to say?
Yeah, a lot of unhappy people at the moment because thousands of passengers were stuck at Gatwick Airport tonight as they battled to get home for Christmas after 75 flights to and from the airport were cancelled. EasyJet is forced to cancel 53 flights with British Airways cancelling 22 services because of power cuts following last night's storm. Problems at the north terminal of the London airport caused by the failure of two substations also saw 6 EasyJet flights postponed until tomorrow. Both airlines were scrambling to swap passengers onto alternative flights with empty seats to get as many people as possible to their destination, but some travellers have been told by staff to go home because there's no chance they were making it's the final destination this evening. What if you are trying to get home? Will you just go home? I'm trying to. British Airways was telling passengers at Gatwick Airport their bags may not be put on the plane as a result of disruption, with many being advised just to take the luggage with them. Separately, 70,000 homes remain without power this afternoon. Suppliers race against time to restore electricity before tomorrow. However, UK power networks and thousands of people will not get supplies back before tomorrow. It goes on there. There's been a lot of rainfall going on, but they had to call the police to the airport to calm people down. So everybody's extremely annoyed. So that's come at a good time, you know. Everybody's trying to get home for Christmas or trying to get somewhere for Christmas. And damn, we should see some of these pictures. Like, I didn't even know the storm was that bad last night. I was sleeping. But floods everywhere.
You were having visions of sugar plums dancing through your head.
That's right. Okay, should we take the caller?
Yeah, let's take a caller. 919, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. How are you doing today?
Great. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. Could we have your name, please?
I'm Rebecca.
Rebecca. Okay. Now, Rebecca, I want you to think about this, okay? You're sitting at lunch, okay, with 3 people that you really respect and admire. It doesn't have to be those girls from Sex and the City necessarily. It's just, you know, because you may not admire them, but just people that you really, really, really respect, people that, you know, that you really see them as honorable and decent. And then they start criticizing a close friend of yours, but they don't know that this person is your friend. But the criticism is distasteful and also unjustified. So what do?
You know, I don't know if I would let them know that I'm their friend or defend the friend. I really like to put out, you know, reminding people that, you know, well, we all have our own lives and we're going through our own struggles and lessons, and a lot of times we need to, you know, when we have issues with people, we need to look within ourselves because it actually has to do with us and not them.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. That's a good answer. That's a very fair answer. Well, if you had just a simple question that you wanted to put out today to help you, what's your question?
I would like to find a life partner. And any advice or anything you get regarding that?
Hold on just a moment. Let me do something a little bit different because there's I want to keep this simple. We can't make things very complex like over the show. But hold on just a moment. Like there's this person that's hovering around you now, and then like when I go back, you know, there's people, you know, I mean, it looks, you know, you've had relationships.
Yes.
The thing is that there's this thing that seems to be hovering around you of multiplicity, and what I mean by that is it seems like there is someone in your life. Or there's someone that you might have on your mind because it just seems like there's something that's going on now. But it seems like that he's in another relationship. Is that sounding like that's someone that's going on with you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you this because, like I said, I want to keep this very simple. If you're looking for a life partner, and I know everybody's situation is different. You've got to decide on whether or not, and it sounds like you're trying to get to that place now. You want to deal with this person or if you're looking for somebody that's really just only for you. And the reason that I think that this is something that is coming up is because it seems as if this is something that either you can't let go of because he won't let you, or it just keeps coming back. That's the best way for me to put it.
Yeah, we're not together. I don't know if it's maybe picking up on like hope that it might work out. I don't because I'm not
right,
in a relationship right now.
Well, but it just seems like this person may, you know, circle around again.
Yeah.
But the next time I actually see, and I'm just going to jump way ahead because, like I said, you know, it's just not as simple. Your question's not, the answer is not as simple as I think that we want it to be. I do see you finally in a relationship with someone, but the time period is not soon.
Okay.
This actually looks like this is something that could take, you're going to hate this. It looks like it may take you into the year 2015.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be by yourself all through 14. It's just that there's something about what's happening that's in the energy now that keeps coming back, and it may just keep trapping you. But if you can just kind of get yourself away from this, away, you know what I mean? And just try to steer yourself to somebody that's actually truly available to only you. Maybe this is something that can happen faster. But remember, we just cannot always make ourselves stop feeling something or wanting something. But remember, he just, there's that multiplicity just keeps, it just, I can't get away from it. And it was trapping me in the very beginning, and I just couldn't get away from it. So I was trying to look and see what you were dealing with, or just, you know, what was going on. And it just seems like it keeps coming back, whether or not it's the same person or just things like it keep coming into your life. That could be something that's going on with you too. But remember, in your quest, just for you, some people is different, but for you, we need to kind of focus on someone who's available only to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to try that. Okay.
Okay.
And I hope that helps a little bit. But it just seems like there's some more of the same that's going to be coming in, and it's keeping you from what it is that you really want. So just try to remember that when you're making your choices. Okay?
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for calling, and thank you so much for listening. And I really do hope you have a wonderful tomorrow, okay?
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you guys and all of your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, controversial low-calorie artificial sweetener, aspartame, has been cleared by European food experts as safe for human consumption.
So you going to go get some?
Yeah, I got some right here. The move has been welcomed by manufacturers, about it has, who have been using the sugar alternative in fizzy drinks such as Diet Coke and snacks for 30 years. However, one leading British expert has accused the European experts of failing consumers and being biased in favour of the food industry. Aspartame has come under suspicion as a result of research studies drawing links to everything from allergic reactions to cancer and premature births. However, a study by experts on behalf of the European Food Safety Authority has found it has no harmful effects. They said yesterday, aspartame and its breakdown products are safe for human consumption at current levels of exposure. Current levels of exposure. Yes. What's that? One can of Coke? Maybe one can of Coke won't do it, but a can of Coke every few hours, every day. So I want to know what the current levels of exposure are. The chairman of the expert panel, which assessed the sweetener, Dr.
Something.
Yeah. Said, this opinion represents one of the most comprehensive risk assessments of aspartame ever undertaken. It is a step forward in strengthening consumer confidence in the scientific underpinning of the EU's food safety system and regulation of food additives. Concerns about artificial sweeteners such as aspartame are centered on the fact that they contain methanol. Methanol is a nerve toxin which can be metabolized in the body to form formic acid, which is another nerve toxin, as well as formaldehyde, which is the chemical used to preserve dead bodies. So maybe you'll never actually grow old if you drink loads of it, because it just preserves your body. But it continues to go on there. But I was looking at the top rated comments, and, you know, it kind of puts your faith in humanity, pulls it back a bit, because would have been a time where the top comments would have been, what's aspartame? This is just a conspiracy theory. It's the Venus reflecting light on swamp gas. You know what I mean? But now, best way to comment is say, I for one, do not believe for 1 minute that aspartame is safe. That's top comment. The next top comment is, don't worry about aspartame. It kills rats, but it won't kill you because you're not a rat. Oh, by the way, the medication your doctor gave you is quite safe. We tested on rats before it was approved. And it's pretty cool. It's funny. But there you go. The battle for aspartame. And if you'd like to know more about the harmful effects of aspartame, watch the documentary called Sweet Poison, which is available on YouTube free.
One of my cousins, who is older, she's actually like one of my mother's cousins, you know, one of my mother's cousins, so it's like one of her first cousins, so she's in her 70s. She had an operation. She had nodules growing in her, like her bladder or something like that. It was just, it's like, it wasn't cancer, but it was, still growths that were growing from extended use of aspartame and saccharin and those artificial sweeteners, because she's actually a recovering bulimic and anorexic. I mean, this went on. I mean, till 20 years ago, she was going through this. But anyway, so she, she eats the same things every day to make sure that she's getting what she needs, because she has issues with food, so she doesn't want to think about it. So she knows, I have this and I have this and I have this, and I, you know what I mean. So now she's, you know, of course, doing the stevia, you know. But she's somebody that was having some real serious problems from using all those fake sweeteners for her coffee, and she doesn't drink sodas anymore, you know. But you know what I mean. But anyhow, so yeah, it's not good for your nervous system. It's not good for you. It's just not good. It's just not good. But just real quickly, just in case people were wondering, he just left Greece. And now he's headed to Antalya, Turkey. He'll be there in about 30 seconds. And he has almost delivered 2.9 billion presents. So we're following Santa Claus, and he is headed to Turkey again. He went to Greece, and now he's got to go around to another part of Turkey. But anyway, go on.
Those reindeers are liking their journey.
They're liking it.
Lichen.
Lichen.
Because they eat lichen. something I was going to say, oh yeah, if you want an alternative to sweeteners, you know, if you don't want sugar and you want something to sweeten, use stevia. It's from a plant. Natural. And also, if anybody's after a whey protein, which hasn't got any artificial sweeteners in, I'm going to save you a hell of a lot of time by telling you now what to go for, because it took me ages of research to try and find one that didn't have anything in it, any aspartame in it, or any sucralose, or any acesulfame K, or any E2, whatever it is. And that is Reflex Natural Whey Protein. There you go. I just saved you many hours of trying to find one. McDonald's.
Mm.
McDonald's. Kentucky Fried Pizza, isn't it? Chicken hot. Wait a minute, that's not right. Yeah, you've heard that song, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. McDonald's.
Kentucky Fried. Chicken. I mean Kentucky Fried Pizza.
Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza Hut.
I said a Kentucky Fried Pizza and a chicken hut.
Oh. Well, what are you going to say about McDonald's? Your favorite chef.
Yeah. McDonald's doesn't think its employees should eat the food they serve. The fast food giant has advised employees to avoid meals with burgers and fries and to eat healthier options like salad and sandwiches. The advice was dispensed on the now infamous McResource line, the employees' only website that has told workers to sell their things and get second jobs to make ends meet. The advice is given with graphics depicting the unhealthy choice and the healthier choice. McDonald's own food is in the former column. Despite featuring a vast array of deep-fried delicacies, the Golden Arches reminds the employees that avoiding items that are deep fried are your best bet. Sensible advice also tells McWorkers to limit the extras such as cheese, bacon and mayonnaise, tasty add-ons that are staples of many menu items they serve on a daily basis. A hamburger, fries and soda are warned against because eating a diet high in fats puts people in Rick. People at Rick. Okay, I read that wrong. People at damn Rick. Not Rick, man. I got Rick Rolls.
Rick Ronalds.
You should say risk, I think. Plus people at risk.
Rick Ronalds.
Damn it, Rick. Hamburger fries and... Oh, well, no, I've read that. Many locations offer steep food discounts and short breaks to employees, virtually forcing them to eat the unhealthy food, often forcing the hand of workers without the time or means to eat elsewhere. It's hard to eat a healthy diet when you eat at fast food restaurants often, the advice continues. Many foods are cooked with a lot of fat, even if they are not trans fats. Many fast food restaurants do not offer any... Oh, excuse me. Lower fat foods. Damn that McDonald's. The world's largest fast food chain was once employees to eat elsewhere. Eat at places that offer a variety of salads, soups, and vegetables, as it says. I don't know why they're doing that, so they don't want to die, so they continue to work for them longer. But the thing is, the end of the day, is it McDonald's fault? Or is it because people choose to eat there? See, I don't necessarily think, you know, it's all that bad to have McDonald's every once in a while, as long as their burgers are actually made from meat and not yoga mats. Well, you know, it's like with anything. You know, you make burgers and fries for yourself every day at home and eat that and eat it and eat it. You're going to get fat anyway. So it's people's choice at the end of the day. People are choosing to do it.
Choices. We have them. We do.
The advice comes after a series of tips in telling employees, find second jobs, apply for food stamps, and sell their things to weather a financial crisis. Sites also give advice on how to tip au pairs, doormen, personal trainers, and pool boys. What? It's not good to do with anything.
It's tipping people.
Well, what's that got to do with McDonald's?
And
people who are short of money. You're short of money,
they
sell your stuff.
Maybe the people who wrote the article just put that in there just to see if you were paying any attention to what they were saying. Maybe.
Look crazy.
Let's take a little bit of a break, and when we get back from the break, we're going to talk to the caller at 646. We're going to share some more little things. But I want everybody to remember our esoteric question of the day, which is, you're having lunch with three people that you really respect and you admire, and they all start criticizing a close friend of yours, but they don't know that this person is your friend. The criticism is distasteful and unjustified. So what do you do? And that is our esoteric question of the day. What do you do with gossip that is actually about someone that you really care about and you know that the stuff that they're talking about is not justified or true? But we'll be right back.
Well, I was just going to say palindrome.
Palindrome.
It's in the chat room. And they're saying this. Actually, Stevie may not be as healthy as one thinks. He still has diuretics. Take in moderation. It's good advice, you know. It's better than aspartame, but then again, you never know with these alternatives. If you are going to take one, I think Stevie's the best option at the moment, or not. Just have normal sugar.
Well, they also tell people that it's like, 3 times or something times sweeter than sugar itself. So when you're using it, you have to make sure that you're using it in proper proportion. You're not just dumping it in there. It's just a little bit because you're only supposed to sprinkle tiny bit, a very tiny bit.
I've got this Stevia. Sorry, I've got like some sort of stomach ulcer or something. I keep burping. I'm sorry. Yeah, I've got the stevia sweeteners. And I took them for a bit, you know, but they're not really for me. I did try them for a while. And it tastes, you know, sweet and that, but didn't sit quite right with me. So I went back to sugar, but of course I've still got this whey protein. I don't think it's actually got any sweetness in it at all. But
well, you're not even really somebody that cares about sweets, though. So, I mean, you know.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't even eat sweets, you know.
So that's not even really. I mean, so for you to have a little bit of sugar in your tea, you know, that's one
thing.
That's
what I do, yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing.
But the main reason, I just wanted to make sure at the time, just months ago, that, to make sure that there wasn't any stevia, aspartame or sucralose or SSFNK in my whey protein, which is really hard to find, and, you know, I found it, so.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to the person at 646. This is Broken Earth Radio Show.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, and we'll be right back.
Hi. My name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
And we're back. And we're back.
Oh, the alarm. The alarm. Right. It's a nice story for everybody. A Colombian woman was suffering from stomach pain. Sorry. Let me start again. No, that's right. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Willis? A Colombian woman suffering from stomach pain was found to have a 40-year-old fetus inside her. 82-year-old from Bogota had what is known as a lithopedion, or stone baby, when the unborn child develops outside the womb. The woman was originally thought to be suffering from a stomach bug, but scans revealed lithopedion, where the fetus becomes calcified. There are fewer than 300 cases reported in medical literature. The woman would now undergo surgeries at the fetus, mostly comprised of dead tissue removed. According to the NTD, Dr. Kema Ramirez of Bogota's hospital said that the doctors overseeing the woman noticed something abnormal in her abdomen and suspected gallstones. An ultrasound showed nothing. Then radiography of her abdomen revealed a tumor in an abdominal cavity. We are laughing at this story.
I'm not laughing at it.
Dr. Ramirez explained, this happens because the fetus does not develop in the uterus because it was moved in to another place. In this case, the abdominal part of the woman is not a viable place. I'm reading this all wrong. And this is what happened. Calcified fetus. Get the idea.
Right.
But, yeah. So, reminds me of that story, that bloke who is getting on in life and this growth inside him, you know. Told you about this. So,
I'm here. I'm.
Sorry, everything froze up and I thought we got disconnected. Yeah. Yeah, that growth inside of him, and it was long, and anyway, he's like, he got fed up with it, and he was getting pains, and then they cut it open, and his twin brother was inside him.
Right.
And he had hands with long nails and stuff, and had a head with hair and stuff on it. His twin brother had been trapped inside him for, what, 40 years or something.
Remember those hair things I used to make? It had it was the twin that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes you wonder, you know, what was he eating? Was he, if he was in the lung, was he eating phlegm?
He wasn't alive.
It must have been to some extent, otherwise he would have rotted away. He'd been growing. He had long fingernails on his little deformed hand.
I think he wasn't
hair,
alive.
And he had teeth. Must have been alive for some time because, you know.
I think that this is making me feel very uncomfortable.
Well, it's true.
It's not true. It's just something that's all been made up.
It's true to find the photos.
I know, but I choose to believe that it's been made up.
Denial is not just a river in Egypt.
You know what? That's where Santa Claus is right now. Santa Claus is right
denial.
Now in Egypt.
Santa Claus is in denial.
He's in Egypt right now.
I'm trying to think of a joke. Gaza pyramids. A group of schoolgirls claims to have made a scientific breakthrough that shows Wi-Fi signals could damage your health by experimenting with Cress. In a twist on the traditional science project of growing Cress on a paper plate, the 15-year-old set out to test whether mobile phone signals could be harmful. They say the results could affect millions of people around the world. People listen. Wilson said,
I think you just do that on purpose.
We all thought we experienced concentration problems in school if we slept with our mobile phones at the bedside, and sometimes we also found it difficult sleeping. However, because they were not able to monitor the brain activity at a school in Denmark, they chose to monitor plants near wireless routers, which emit similar radio waves to mobile phones. When the girls grew trays of garden cress next to the Wi-Fi routers, they found that, they found that most of the seedlings had died. In the experiment, they placed 6 trays in a room without any equipment and another 6 trays in a room next to 2 routers. Over 12 days, many of the seedlings in the Wi-Fi room turned brown and died, whereas those in the other room thrived. But critics claim that the cress seedlings left next to the roots probably struggled because they were dried out by heat emitted from the devices. Kim Horsivad. The student's biology teacher.
Why do you do this? Why do you pick stories that have names that are just so crazy? That I'm going to shut up.
This has sparked quite a lively debate in Denmark. Oh, that's why it's in Denmark. That's why I'm in trouble here.
Right.
Regarding the potential adverse health effects of mobile phones and Wi-Fi equipment, the results will bolster the findings of research in Holland, who found that trees exposed to wireless radio signals suffered from damaged bark and dying leaves. There is little evidence, however, that wireless emissions pose any danger to human health. Wi-Fi signals use very low intensity radio waves, 100,000 times less powerful than a microwave. But what if you had 100,000 radio waves all concentrated in the same place at once? Then would it be harmful? That's not in the article, it's me.
Okay.
Okay, good answer. Sitting in a Wi-Fi hotspot for a year would only expose you to the same dose of radio waves as making a 20-minute phone call. Right. Wireless radio waves also diminish significantly with distance. It'd be interesting if you could put these goggles on and view all the signals that are going through everywhere at the same time. You know, like Wi-Fi, radio signals, Bluetooth.
Well, just so you can just completely just make yourself a nervous wreck.
Yeah, so you can see them all.
Yeah.
So and how your brain would function if you managed to get away from it all, if you could actually get away from it all for a while, you know. But then again, there's probably frequencies being emitted by the Earth itself and other planets. Maybe you can't get away from it. Maybe that's what keeps us as we are.
Glowing.
If it was all shut off, we could all just turn into zombies or vegetables or something and start climbing back up the trees like Darwinism.
Or something.
Which is probably not actually... Anyway, moving on.
There's a story that I posted on the page, Broken Earth Radio Show page on Facebook. And it's actually one that I sat here looking at this. And it's a pretty extensive article, so it's not something that I'm going to read, you know, because that's just not going to happen. But it's about the welfare queen. In the 1970s, Ronald Reagan villainized the Chicago woman for bilking the government. Her other sins, including possible kidnappings and murders, were far worse. And it's about Linda Taylor. Her name is Linda Taylor, but she used 80 names. She used many, many names, and many of them are listed on the story, or in the story, rather. But basically, and I'm just going to give you a little preamble to it, and I'm going to post the link in the room. Ronald Reagan loved to tell stories. When he ran for president in 1976, many of Reagan's anecdotes converged on a single point. The welfare state is broken, and I'm the man to fix it. On the trail, the Republican candidate told a tale about a fancy public housing complex with a gym and a swimming pool. There was also someone in California, he'd explain incredulously, who supported herself with food stamps while learning the art of witchcraft. And in stump speech after stump speech, Reagan regaled his supporters with the story of an Illinois woman whose feats of deception were too amazing to be believed. In Chicago, they found a woman who holds the record, the former California governor declared at a campaign rally in January 1976. She used 80 names, 30 addresses, 15 telephone numbers to collect food stamps, Social Security, veterans benefits for four non-existent deceased veteran husbands, as well as welfare. Her tax-free cash income alone was running $150,000 a year. As soon as he quoted that dollar amount, the crowd gasped. 4 decades later, Reagan's soliloquies on welfare fraud are often remembered as shameless demagoguery. Many accounts report that Reagan coined the term welfare queen and that this woman in Chicago was a fictional character. In 2007, the New York Times' Paul Krugman wrote that the bogus story of the Cadillac driving welfare queen was a gross exaggeration of a minor case of welfare fraud. MSNBC's Chris Matthews says the whole thing is racist malarkey, a coded reference to black indolence and criminality designed to appeal to working-class whites. So Reagan was known to stretch the truth. He did not invent the woman in Chicago, believe it or not. Her name was Linda Taylor, and it was the Chicago Tribune, not the GOP politician, who dubbed her the welfare queen. It was the Tribune, too, that lavished attention on Taylor's jewelry, furs, and Cadillac, all which were real. In 1976, Taylor had yet to be convicted of anything. She was facing charges that built the government out of $8,000 using four aliases. When the welfare queen stood trial the next year, reporters packed the courtroom. Rather than try to win sympathy, Taylor seemed to enjoy playing the scofflaw. As witnesses described her brazen pilfering from public coffers, she remained impassive, an unrepentant defendant, bedecked in expensive clothes and oversized hats. So I think that this is an awesome preamble to this story. I'm telling you, this story is a trip. And you can find it on our Broken Earth radio show page. And I'm also going to post it, which I'm doing right now. And also we're going to take a call after I do this. I'm going to post it in the room for you guys to kind of sit back and check out. I mean, and I'm telling you, this story is absolutely amazing. Also, real quickly, you know, everybody remembers the woman, speaking of McDonald's, who spilled the coffee and won, like, $2 million.
What? For spilling the coffee?
Yes, but the thing is...
She spilled it herself.
Yes, she spilled the coffee on herself in the car. And there's a story that kind of breaks down what really, really happened because it turned into jokes. It turned into a joke for many, many years. This was back in, like, 1992. There was a woman who was in her 70s. Basically, she was, you know, in the drive-thru at McDonald's. She wasn't – she didn't have anything to put her – coffee in or anything like that. And I think it was her and her son or her grandson. It was one of them. They went through the drive-thru to get breakfast. And so she parked the car and she had the coffee between her legs when she was opening it and the coffee spilt and it spilt all between her legs. And she literally suffered third degree burns and it was bad. I mean, they have photographs of what it looked like and when you see it, when you really see what happened, because people were thinking after it had been broadcasted, people were thinking that it was like, you know, she was driving around with coffee between her legs and spilt it and it was all her fault. But she was actually parked, trying to, you know, open it up and it spilt. And being an older woman and having that softer flesh anyway, I mean, you know, she could get burned by the hair dryer, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's a good story and it kind of explains it. Not only that, even though she won millions of dollars, she settled for considerably less. And the only reason that they even sued McDonald's in the first place is because for the doctor bills, I think they were only offering her like maybe $800, maybe $800. But anyhow, so that's, It's all there. It's all there for if anybody wants to check that out.
What now? Drinks are hot. Yeah, some hot drinks.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, I mean, I understand when you're in the service industry like that and people are getting coffee, I mean, people are usually transporting their drinks to another location. And so when it gets to, like your French fries, if you go through the drive-thru, you're getting your fries and you get home and they're cold, you're going to be pissed because every time I get home, my fries are cold, you know. So if you're driving and you're carrying your hot coffee and you get home or you get to work or just you get to wherever you can be situated and you drink your coffee and it's cold, you're going to be mad. So they have to have it so that it's a certain temperature to make it from one place to the next. I mean, and there's even a holding. There's even a holding temperature, which is basically they brew the coffee. It needs to be hot. You don't want this you know, milk, this room temperature icky coffee.
What they should do, get these camping supplies, and they do these tins now, tins of food. Just like a normal tin. It's a bit bigger than a normal tin, you know. And what you do is you take it away with you and you're in your tent. You don't need to take any cooking equipment. You don't need to heat it up. Basically, it's a two-layered can, and you open it up. It's got the food in the middle, but there's an outer, the food's in the core, and there's an outer bit, and you pierce three holes in the top of the can, and it goes through, as it reacts with the air, it goes through the heating process and starts to heat it up naturally. Maybe they should have some holders like that, and then when you get to where you need to be, pop those holes, it heats it up ready for you.
Or I guess you could also get a thermos and bring your coffee from home.
Yeah, but then again, you still, unless they should supply paper thermos, paper thermos or paper flasks to everybody.
Well.
Sorted. See, that's what I'm here for. Call me.
Whatever, Mellow Yellow?
Maybe.
Let's take the caller at 646. 646, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. How are you doing today?
Hi, Merry Christmas to both of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Did you hear our esoteric question of the day?
Yes, it's about, if somebody is saying something bad about your friend, what would you do?
Yeah. But the thing is, these are people that you really actually respect, you know, people that you really admire, you know what I mean? And you're having lunch with them, and then they start talking about someone that's a friend of yours, but the criticism is distasteful and it's unjustified. So, you know, what do you think that you might do?
Well, it depends on the what's being described. If it's rumors, I would definitely try to clear it up with them and say, you know, hey, I actually know this person and that's not really how it was described, or maybe there was a misunderstanding, and I will try to put some positive words for that person. And but if there's some kernel of truth to it, then I will be hey, there's always two sides to the story, and, you know, at least to me, that person has never demonstrated those kind of things. So I would still try to put in a good word for that person.
Yeah. I think all of us have kind of been in that, and if there's anything that I remember from childhood, the book by Judy Blume, Blubber. I don't know if you remember that book, but it was basically a book that was showing us that it's always going to be your turn. It's always going to be somebody's turn to be on the auction block. And so when I think about this sort of question, I think about those scenarios. And you know, I've been the person that people have been having a field day with because they didn't know any better. You know, I've been there. One of the things that I can't stand about gossip, to be honest, is that whenever I've been in a situation where people are sitting around talking, I'm always accused of being the person, that doesn't happen to me anymore, okay, but I have been the person that people were accused of doing the talking, and I was just there, and I think it's because my name is Nunu. I mean, you know, because, like, if somebody's like, you know, a bunch of people were sitting around talking, Nunu was there, you know, people are going to just, you know what I mean? So
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, So being in that situation almost makes you feel like you have to speak up for your friend if you've been somebody that's been accused of doing something that or saying things you didn't say or do, you know?
Yeah, anyway. But also it's a matter of respect for your friend, too. I mean, you know, if you would want your friend to do that for you, and I'm not expecting all my friends to do that for me because, you know, everybody's different, and I don't, you know, expect any returns. But for me, it's, you know, it's I always try to see the good sides to everybody. So I will like the people who I respect to see the, you know, the positive sides to my friends so that that they, for you know, maybe there's a possibility for them to get to know better, you know, with each other.
Right.
Clear up the misunderstandings.
Right. Okay.
At least that's my perspective. Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering. There's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong answer, of course. It's just something to kind of think about. And you know, I've talked to a couple of people who have told me every time you ask one of those questions, I get confronted with that. So, you know, you might be confronted with the situation soon, and you kind of, you know, that would actually be an interesting way to spin it on people, too, is if you say, you know what, okay, check this out. Pretend like we're sitting at a table with people, you know what I mean, and just throw the question out there. What would you do if the person you guys were just talking about was one of your friends? You know, you may even want to turn it on them just to see. I mean, it's just something to just think about. I mean, you may not want to, you know what I mean, but that would be interesting to spin the question back out on them and say, this is my friend that you're talking about. You know, I've even been in a situation when people were actually talking about my sister and didn't even know it was my sister. So, it's interesting.
Oh. I hate that when that happens. Yeah, isn't it? And people would think that you would, like, tag along and join in on the gossip, and you're like, do you even know how I'm related, you know, how close I am to this person you're talking about?
I know.
Yeah. And you realize they're talking about you, and you're like, oh.
You guys are talking about me.
And you sat there and goes, yeah, I agree. That's right. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Well,
I do want to know why, you know, is it that it's in human nature? It's a part of human nature that when we gather together, and I kind of noticed that recently, you know, when we grow up, you know, in high school, college, whatever, you know, when we get together, we tend to discuss about people, like with gossip. This is something that's done naturally. It's like sort of a bonding mechanism, sort of. We don't talk about the goods about other people. It's always negative. Like, did you know this person got into this and that? It just sounds more, I guess, more engaging and more interesting than oh, you know, that person is doing very well. You know, she did something, you know, great for, you know, other people. It's never meant to highlight people's achievement, but it's always to put people down.
Right, to gather together and just kind of see what people have been doing that's not so great.
Like, oh, I feel so sorry for that person, but you know, like, you don't mean it. You know, like, anyways, that's why I try to stay away from those gossipers because I, what goes around comes around, but you never know when you're going to be on the chopping block. And also, it's just, I think it's just stupid. It's a waste of my time.
All right. Well, thank you for answering that question. Now, if you had a very, very simple question to put out today, you know, for an answer, to get a simple answer, what would your question be?
I actually called into the show a few weeks ago, and I asked you this question. Will the situation turn out in my favor? And you mentioned, and you gave me a very interesting answer, and I did not understand the meaning of it until how things kind of unfolded in the next several weeks, you know, in the past couple weeks. So I've actually shifted my perspective, and I'm approaching the situation from using a different strategy now. So I guess, my question would still be the same. Well, now the situation turned in my favor.
Okay, with you taking a different strategy, you want to know if it's going to turn in your favor.
I've already
taken it,
yes.
Okay, hold on just a moment. We'll see with the changes that you've made and the way that you're seeing things a little bit differently, is this something that's going to pan out the way you want it to? Okay, hold on just a moment. Okay, hold on. So let me see that you're just not down. Okay. All right. Now, I still feel like we might be trying to push a square peg into a round hole. What I want you to do is this. I want you just to relax. And I want you to watch and see what happens over the next week. Because basically, this is what your guides are saying. It says it's about, and this is something that's going to be really hard for me to translate, because there's this card here that I call my matrix card. And what that means basically is you're going to have bullets flying at you, and you're going to have to pick which ones that you're actually going to let hit you and which ones that you're just going to kind of block and let them fall to the floor. So it's basically, it's kind of like saying it's about prioritizing, but it seems like there's going to be some issues that are coming at you that you can't prioritize. You just have to deal with them because let that stand on its own. And then you're being told that the chemistry is, we got to fix chemistry. Chemistry is it's basically like the way people get along, or just the temperature. It's just the chemistry. And then you're being told that soon you'll see that you're hitting a traffic jam. And that's the end of the statement. So basically, if I adjust this to basically be a timing, you're being told to just chill and just watch where everything just sort of collects. And you'll understand where, and this is such a frustrating thing, because I don't ever like telling people that something won't work. Not because I don't want people to, not that I'm trying to sugarcoat it, but it's just that I always try to find angles for things to actually work, just like you're trying to do right now. But you're being told there's going to be a block, there's going to be a jam. And on the other side of that jam, it's just something different that it looks like you're really supposed to be trying to get to. But just do this because there's just no reason to grapple over it right now. Watch watch what you've done. Let it play out. Let it play, and then over the next couple of weeks, actually it seems like it's over the next week, you're going to see the jam. You're going to see where it's kind of like, this is something that's not going to work. I've got to try something else. And it just kind of seems like it's like you're trying to create something that just, it seems like your energy is supposed to be somewhere else. That's the only way I can put it. But I don't want you to get frustrated, and even though I know that this is frustrating, just let whatever it is that you've set in motion, let it just fall in place. Just let it fall in place so that you'll understand.
Am I going to lose my job, I guess?
It looks
really...
like there is a separation that's coming up. There is a separation coming up, sweetheart. And I think that, like I said, it seems like there's all these things that you're trying to do, but it's like you really are supposed to be doing something else. But this is the way that you have to get to that place to understand that that's the case.
I guess I have to prepare for the worst, huh?
Well, I can't stand this for you. I really, really can't, because I see you really toiling and really struggling. But the thing is that there's, you know, we're going to have to go to bumper stickers right now. When the one door shuts, another one opens. You know, we're going to have to go to these crappy sayings that people tell us because of a crappy time like this. So, but you know, we're so close to the end of Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is always a time where it's like, oh gosh, you know, it's just a time where things just feel jam packed like this. And now that we've moved into Capricorn, there's some things that are going to start really making sense to you. And it's just over the next couple of weeks. But I don't want you to be afraid. Just start exploring other options and let your situation that you're in right now just sort of do what it's going to do. And then, you know, just start exploring your other avenues.
Am I going to be, like, free-falling, I guess? It's really, that's my biggest fear. Like,
of just, like, having no control, just being totally out of it and having no control. No,
well,
I don't think so.
Because, you know, I am trying to work out a sort of solution with them to kind of come up with a way for me to get separated from this place and have their blessing.
Right.
Was sort of my proposal. I kind of need their help in order to transition, but I think I'm kind of at their mercy as to if they want to help me or not. Before, it's like I was desperately trying to stay at this company, but I just feel like the chemistry is just not there. But I guess even with the proposal of helping me move on, it seems like they would just kind of just pull the plug about any sympathy whatsoever.
Okay. Wow. Well, just think about it. Just think about it and, you know, let us know how you're doing.
Thank you.
You know, but you know, if you want to actually sit back and do like a real thorough reading, we're here for that, but we don't do that on the air, okay?
I see.
Okay.
Thank
All right,
you.
Sweetie, you hang in there. Okay? Hang in there.
Okay, thank you. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Merry Christmas to you, too, dear.
You know, although it may not have been the answer she was hoping for, she now has a heads up, and now she can prepare for a worst case scenario. I think it's better having a heads up than going into something and, you know, a lot of negativity is positivity, and I think that's where the positive is there.
Well, you know, it's like you, we put our energy into our work. We really, really do. We throw ourselves, blood, sweat, and tears into our work. And when you're at a place where you've gotten tons of praise and people act like you're just the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then something happens, new management, new people, a different month, whatever the change was, and it just turns on you. And, I mean, people can have nervous breakdowns. You know, we define ourselves by what we do, especially if what we do is part of who we are. Like, if you're a singer, if you're an actress, if your goal is to help people in some way, you know, if you're a teacher, if you're a healer, if what you do really is a part of what you are, not just, you know, just, I don't even know what would, like a dishwasher, you know what I mean? It's not like everybody can go to work and just leave their work there. So when you've put all your energy into a place and you've made friends and you think that you can trust people and it's just, you know, heart and soul. And then the next thing you know, nothing you do is working and they just make you feel like you can be replaced, whatever, you know, it's painful. It's painful and it's frustrating and it's your security and, It's everything. It's everything.
So, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, I'll talk about some Santa Claus sightings.
Ooh, Fanny?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Broken Earth Radio Show, And if you just hang in there, we will be right back. We're back.
Suddenly.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hold on a moment. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, my earphones were doing something crazy and wild. You know.
No, you were doing something crazy.
They were. Santa Claus is in South Africa right now, so I think he should probably be heading.
Beheading? What? I hope not.
He should be heading to Australia. Well, right now he's in Mozambique, and he's headed for Cape Town. Why are you laughing so hard at yourself?
Because you said Santa Claus will hopefully be heading. It's one evil Santa. What's that road ahead?
No.
What's something else? Perhaps this is a ridiculous question, but does Santa Claus really exist?
Yes, he does.
Some would say, what?
Yes, he does.
Some would say, the question is silly because of course Santa Claus is a myth, like Bigfoot and Jesus. What? Others would say that the question is ridiculous because of course he is real. How can we doubt it? Over the years, many children and adults have reported sightings of the real Santa Claus, not department store Santa Claus or the drunk bomb Santa Claus or bell-ringing Salvation Army charity collectors, but the real thing. They even claim seeing the sleigh and reindeer in some cases. Are these illusions seen through the eyes of Christmas excitement and expectation? Or are these cases of genuine Christmas magic? Bristol, England, 2000. I am now 14, but this happened back in 2000. In my old house in Bristol, England, I was with my mom and dad and my sister. It was about midnight on Christmas Eve, and I was the only one awake because I was really excited. I could hear these big footsteps in my living room. I was quite scared, and I could also hear bells tingling above me, so I wanted to see what was going on. I walked down the stairs very slowly. Sorry. And I could see this big man putting presents around my living room. I wanted to say something, but I was too scared to do it because I thought he would be angry. He turned into a lion. Smited me. What noise was that?
That was my...
Santa purring with excitement.
That was my scary noise. I don't know.
It's pretty scary. I ran back upstairs. I went back to sleep. I was so convinced I saw the real Santa and told everyone in the morning, but no one believed me. New York City, 2002, 2004, and 2007. It was Christmas Eve of 2002 in New York City. We invited some friends and relatives over for a dinner, sort of like a Christmas Eve celebration. After that, I decided to go to my room to watch some television. But there was nothing good to watch. I then found myself packing bag. What? Sorry.
Okay.
Don't make me laugh because as I laugh, it makes the volume control go down on my mic.
Okay, all right.
I then found myself pacing back and forth in the hallway. My house is big, so there was no one with me. What? Everyone was in the living room watching a movie I wasn't interested in. About 7 minutes into my pacing, I saw a tall, fat figure scurrying away, about 20 feet away from me. It was crouched down too, and he said, "My precious." That wasn't true, but it makes it sound like it is scurrying away and crouching down. He was even wearing some sort of Santa Claus suit. I didn't believe in Santa, but this just freaked me out. There was a strange man in my house. I quickly ran to where my parents were and told them all about it. They grinned at me and said jokingly, "Maybe it was Santa Claus." I didn't believe that, and I was confused by their accents. So I just sat down in the living room.
Okay.
So I just sat down in the living room with my family and everybody else. Then it occurred to me again on Christmas Eve 2004. I remember it more vividly than the last one. I was lying on the couch in the living room. My parents were in the kitchen having a conversation about a business blog or something. Suddenly I saw a huge man, about 7 or 8 feet tall, crawl underneath the tree and just vanish. Before it disappeared, it looked at me and said, "Shh." Very strange, so I went into the kitchen and sat with my parents. Smaller happenings occurred the following Christmases. I recall one in 2007, it was daylight this time, and I just happened to see another tall figure with a Santa hat trudge by me for 2 seconds. And it was gone. This really happened. Claxons Cumberbatch. That sounds like a name of what are they called? Kay and Peele when they're doing the football team.
Right.
Clutch. But, I mean, then again, you
know. Prometheus Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
That guy's name is...
People who haven't seen that are going to be very confused.
They'll be like, what?
But and then again, could it have been some the father dressed as Santa Claus? It could have been some stranger.
It could have been Santa Claus dressed as Santa Claus.
With his sack in hand.
With his sack in hand.
White Santa, 1969. Why is it called White Santa? Is that opposed to a...
Another Santa.
You know,
Let's read the story.
Trying to. I had an experience when I was 3 years old and still young enough to wear footed pajamas. The year was maybe, they haven't really got the evidence to back these up, but you know.
But I don't understand why somebody thinks that they're going to be too old to wear footed pajamas.
Yeah, I mean, look at me.
Look at me.
Wearing crotchless footed pajamas, I mean. Wait.
Yeah, you probably need to just chill.
The year was maybe 1969, Christmas Eve, all through the house. I wanted to see what Santa had brought to me, so I quietly walked down the hallway and looked around the corner to our living room. I saw my parents and someone I didn't know around our Christmas tree. The stranger was an old guy with a white beard and hair and a red suit. I quickly went back to my room as fast as I could with footed pajamas. Specifically. They went back with their footed pajamas specifically. I slid into bed. I told my mum what happened many years later, and she insisted that I was dreaming or that it was my dad. That wasn't possible because my dad was sitting in a chair behind the stranger while my mum was standing right next to my dad. I'm African-American, and during that time, the tenants in our building were all African-American, so Santa stood out. That's why it was called White Santa, because everybody was black. But, you know, when I was younger, maybe 7, I heard what sounded like a sleigh going past with the jingling and all the clanking.
Mm-hmm.
I swear I heard that going past. I was awake, and I was like, what? And quickly jumped out of bed to have a look. I couldn't see anything, but it sounded like Santa going past on his sled. I clearly remember that, you know?
I remember waiting and waiting and waiting and just being so excited, and I love Christmas trees, and I love Christmas cards that have like the villages on it, the big gigantic tree in the middle of the town. You know what I mean? I just love stuff like that. And I remember waiting and waiting and waiting for these awesome gifts from Santa Claus. And I remember lots of disappointments, too, but, you know.
Well, I remember I used to get, like, a stocking, but it was, like, one of my dad's big, long socks that he used to have. I used to hang it on the doorknob. And it would be all, you know, drooping there. And in the morning, it would be stuffed full of stuff, and you had, like, a clementine or, you know, satsuma at the bottom, and then you'd have, you know, like, some nibbly things, and you'd be like, whoa, I got myself an orange, man. And you'd be, like, so excited about it.
Oh, I know.
But then again, maybe it's a more magical time when you're younger. A lot more magical. But then again, there are times when it does feel magical as you are older as well, but
it's
a great time of year for kids and for family as well, and you know, and I appreciate the listeners today that have tuned in with us on this Christmas Eve to be with us. And not only that, our dedication to be here on Christmas Eve. drinking all ready. These beers. Oh.
Stop knocking stuff over like you're drinking beers. So silly. You know, yesterday we had so much fun making these furry things. No one knows what I'm talking about. My friend Angela came over, and we made mufflers for mufflers.
Not for cars.
Fur mufflers for your hands. We made some for your hands.
Mufflers for your car.
Mufflers for your car. And we also made me a really long, like a fur. It's to wear, but it's like.
Use your words.
Stop it! It's kind of like a throw, but it's one that you can. It's something that you can wear, and it.
So you throw up, and then it's down on your stuff.
And you can drape it behind you, and you can carry it while you're solving your murder mysteries, and you're clip-clopping around town in your high heels.
Your pipe.
But yeah, so that was fun yesterday, and. It's just been a really, really, really nice, peaceful, calm holiday season. And we had great gifts today. And tomorrow we're going to have lots of delicious food and, you know, and then back to work. But I'm so glad that you're off work because I really, really look forward to being able to spend lots and lots of time with you.
Off work until Monday. How good is that?
I know.
On Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday.
Hmm?
I'm not back in work now until Thursday next week.
Oh, no, the 2nd. And it's so wonderful.
And it's great because I put so much time and effort into my work that normally I'm drained at the end of the day. Mufflers.
You have great vacations. You have great vacation time. That's one of the things that I kind of envy.
That's right, you know. Yeah, my time off, I'm still here educating you all about Santa. It's dedication. I'm always working. Even on my weeks off, I'm working. Researching about McDonald's, drinking beer,
eating yoga mat sandwiches.
That's right. Chewing down some stevia bars. Anyway, I can't believe the show's nearly over.
Yeah, it's almost over with. And then it's time to go get some rest and mm-hmm. get ready to get back to work again. We're going to probably have another show later on in the week, right? Like something like a breakfast show?
Why? Maybe. Breakfast.
Well, we'll see. But that's something that I like doing, switching up times a little bit to see if you can grab some people around the clock.
And I'm all like, sleepy. I have to go and get myself a coffee from McDonald's, and then we'll be all right.
Or just make yourself a coffee. But anyhow, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And we'll be seeing you guys over the next few days.
Christmas, we love you. Sorry.
Merry Christmas, everybody. And thanks for tuning in.
Thank you much. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye-bye.